The following is a class on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter number 15, text number 6, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 12th, 2016, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
So today, that special day of the week we all look forward to the whole week, and that's Chaitanya Charitamrita class. This is the finest essence, the quintessence of Krishna consciousness. There's the essence and then the quintessence. The essence of Krishna consciousness is Chaitanya Charitamrita. So today we're reading from Adi Lila, chapter 15, the Lord's Paganda Lila, text number chapter 15, text number 6.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Alpakale Haila Panji Tikate Pravina Chira Kalera Panduya Jine Haya Navina Apakale Haila Panji Tikate Pravina.
See, what is that tune? Don't. What's that tune for CC? No. That's the tune.
Apakale kaila, apakale haila panji tikati pravina.
Apakale haila panji tikati pravina.
Chirakale rapanduya jine haya navina. Apakale haila panji tikate pravina.
Apakale haila panji tikate pravina.
Chirakale rapanduya jine haya navina. Apakale haila panji tikate pravina.
Apakale haila panji tikate pravina.
Chirakale rapanduya jina haya navina.
Chirakale rapanduya jina haya navina.
Apakale.
Apakale.
Within a very short time. Haila.
Haila.
Became.
Panjitikate.
In the commentary on grammar named Panjitika. Pravina, very expert. Chirakalera, all older. Panduya, students. Jine, conquers. Haya, being. Navina, their junior. Translation in purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. He soon became so expert in commenting on the Panjitika that he could win victory over all the other students, although he was a neophyte. Purport. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there was a commentary on grammar named Panjitika that was later explained very lucidly by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, it's not surprising that Lord Chaitanya can become so expert at the Panjitika, even though he's a young boy, because after all, he's Krishna himself, the knower of everything. Everything knowable is all there within Krishna. So for him to manifest such expert knowledge of this Sanskrit commentary, the commentary in Sanskrit grammar, I mean, is that it's not difficult. Of course, it was very astounding, because he was appearing just as a young boy. He wasn't appearing as the Supreme Personality of God, just as a young boy, you see. So many astounding things he did, just like that Keshava Kashmiri. There was this big Sanskrit scholar named Keshava Kashmiri. He was wandering all over India, defeating everyone. Just like nowadays, the big thing is soccer, football, baseball, you see. Sports, the Olympics and all that. Who can be, it's a big thing in the news. Who won the Olympics? Who won the World Series? Who's the world champion of soccer? You know, it's a big thing in the news. Newspapers covered, it's big on television, very popular thing. So in those days in India, they didn't have all this kind of sporting. Their sporting was debates. Who is the greatest scholar? That was the big kind of competition in those days. Who's the biggest scholar? Not who can kick a football better than someone else. Who can debate better? So this Keshava Kashmiri, he was traveling all over India, defeating everybody wherever he went. The last place to come was Navadvip, which is the Oxford of ancient of India at that time. It's like Oxford in the UK is a center. It's supposed to be a center of great learning, Oxford or Cambridge in the US. You see. So Navadvip was the seat of learning. So he came there. Now I'm really going to wrap up my championship of all the scholars in India. I will come to Navadvip, and I will defeat the Navadvip scholars, and then I'll be really established as the topmost pundit in all of India. You see. So the scholars got really scared, and they all find some excuse to leave town for the weekend. They got scared like anything. I don't want to be defeated. But they said, we'll just leave this. My pundit, he's pretty good. He's pretty sharp. We'll just leave him there. Let him handle the... Leave the... So this young boy of Navadvip can defeat the Keshava Kashmiri. Oh, then our reputation of... Even a boy of Navadvip can defeat this Keshava Kashmiri. So he left Namai Pandit behind to do the debating, you see. So they went to the... Namai Pandit... Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, playing the part of a young boy, he approached him on the bank of the Ganges, Keshava Kashmiri. So Keshava Kashmiri, to show off his great erudition, he composed 100 verses of Sanskrit poetry just extemporaneously, not writing it, but just off his lips, immediately, 100 verses of Sanskrit poetry to show what a great scholar I am, you see. But then Lord Chaitanya was so sharp, he said, "But my dear learned pundit, I have noted a literary discrepancy in the 64th verse." After 100 verses he recited, Nabai Pundit, he grasped every single verse, and he could actually, in the 64th verse he has made one literary mistake. He caught an error called redundancy. Bhavani Bhartu was the redundancy. The husband of the wife of Lord Shiva. That's a redundancy. You just say Lord Shiva. Why the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva? You just say Lord Shiva. But to say the husband, it's called wordiness in regular. In redundancy in fancy words in just regular street language, it's called wordiness. He was being too wordy. In poetry, especially in Sanskrit poetry, you can't be too wordy. Every word has to be necessary. And if you put too many words, then it's wordiness or redundancy. It's a literary fault. So he made the mistake of saying Bhavani Bhartu instead of just saying Lord Shiva. He said the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva. And he was absolutely astounded. How could I make that mistake? And how could this young boy remember all those 100 verses and pick out a literary fault in the 64th verse? He was completely astounded. This is amazing. He realized, actually, this is his... And then in his dream that night, Gada Saraswati said, this is actually the Supreme Lord himself. See, he was a great devotee of Gada Saraswati, you see. And that's how he got his power in Sanskrit grammar. In learning, you see, because he was a goddess. But he realized that Saraswati revealed, actually, this is my worshipful Lord. And now he has appeared as this young boy, so now you become his disciple. So he surrendered, became a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, that great pundit. So in this way, this is just so many extraordinary pastimes were happening. Some thieves... Lord Chaitanya had some jewels on his body, you see. So some thieves grabbed him to kidnap him so they could take him into a solitary place and take all the jewels. They wanted to. They kidnapped him to steal all the jewels. So when they kidnapped him, they're running away with little Namai, and they became totally bewildered, running here, running. They ran right back to the house where they had taken him from, and they had were caught and they had run away. You see, so this way, Lord Chaitanya showed so many amazing pastimes in his childhood, and in this way, he captivated the hearts. Of course, later on, there was when he actually inaugurated the Sankirtan movement, it was quite an astounding thing. But there was still persons who were not accepting him, who were critical. So he left Navadvipa, and he made his headquarters in Jagannath Puri. A preacher should have actually a good reputation. So sometimes for preaching, one has to relocate. What is it? Sometimes one has to relocate from one's preaching if there's too much negativity in one place. I don't know where it is. Here it is. There we go. So, how should we relate then to Lord Chaitanya? Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful incarnation of Krishna. Krishna made condition that first you must surrender to me, and then I will give you my mercy. But Lord Chaitanya made no such condition. Therefore, Rupa Goswami prays, Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goratvishena Maha. Now that you are the most munificent incarnation. No one has ever given before such unrestricted mercy as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, in our Krishna consciousness movement, Srila Prabhupada taught us to worship, along with Radha and Krishna, to worship Lord Chaitanya and also the Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya and his associates. Just like before we chant Hare Krishna, we chant Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Because when we get this mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then to understand Krishna becomes not a difficult job. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one could ask? Well, it's quite interesting in this connection. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Enjoyer, the all-powerful Supreme Person. No one can enjoy like Krishna can enjoy. He's the Supreme Enjoyer. But yet Krishna is noticing my beloved Radharani, Srimati Radharani, Radhika. She is enjoying more than me. How is that possible? I'm the Supreme Enjoyer, but this girl is enjoying more than me. Well, actually, that's a fact. The devotee of the Lord enjoys more than the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya, but Krishna doesn't want to be defeated. So therefore, he says, I want to experience what it's like to be my own devotee. Therefore, this golden-limbed girl, she also known as Gaurangi, means the one who possesses golden limbs. The Supreme Lord Krishna, he takes the mood of Radharani and the complexion of Radharani and becomes Gauranga, you see, to experience the sweet flavor of being a devotee of Krishna. So the idea of being envious of Krishna, which brought us here to the begin with, is really just stupid. Why be envious of Krishna when Krishna understands, is actually envious of his devotees, that they're relishing more than me. You see what I'm saying? Our envy of Krishna brought us here, but Krishna is envious of his devotees because they're relishing more than him. So why, it doesn't make any sense to be envious of Krishna. I wish I could be the Supreme Enjoyer. You see? Because the Supreme Enjoyer says, well, even better than being the Supreme Enjoyer is to be this there's even more enjoyment than being the supreme enjoyer, and that's to be the servant of the supreme enjoyer. So Lord Chaitanya is a very good lesson for us. His existence is it. Actually Krishna embellishes more pleasure being Lord Chaitanya than he does being Krishna himself. So therefore we should adopt that mood of Lord Chaitanya, which is the mood of complete absorption in Krishna consciousness. We should study the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Everyone should read the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita cover to cover. Study that book and understand. Or if you're in the beginning, you can just read the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's a little shorter. It's a summary form of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Read the teachings of Lord Chaitanya first. And then you can go to the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita to understand what is the great significance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's actually an interesting story how this Chaitanya Charitamrita was published. Because the first one who publishes it, they become, in literary circles, you know, they're the leading edition, is the one that first was published. So when Prabhupada was getting ready to publish the Chaitanya Charitamrita in English, somebody else was also getting ready to publish it. So Prabhupada wanted to be the first, because there's a prestige. This is the original edition, you see, in English. So there was a big push. There were 17 volumes that needed to be published, and Prabhupada wanted it done in a few days. And he told Rameshwar on a morning walk, and he said, "Papa, that's impossible. We can't do it in that short of a time. This published 17 volumes, just, I don't know how many days it was, maybe 2 or 3 weeks or something, a very short time to publish, you know, the layout, the artwork, the whole thing, the editing, the huge project, 17 volumes of books. Probably went in just a few days only, maybe a couple of weeks, some very short time." And Rameshwar said, "Impossible." Prabhupada said, "Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary." And he demanded that nobody should do it. He went an absolute marathon. I mean, 24-hour marathon. Like the paintings, they have the painters working on a paint. They paint until they were exhausted. They fall asleep. Another painter would come in 24 hours a day. The paintings. Another painter would come in and finish it while the first painter is sleeping. And then if he was exhausted and he didn't finish it, the other painter would wake up and he would finish it. In this way, they did a miracle thing. And in a very short time, they published all 17 volumes. And Prabhupada was so pleased. How many days?
1 month.
It was 1 month? Yeah. Prabhupada was so pleased. So that was a big thing for all of us in ISKCON. Because we were hearing all the reports, you know. We heard what was going on in L.A. It was like an amazing thing. Oh, this new book is coming out. The Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prabhupada wanted it done in such a short time. He's pushing the devotees and this huge marathon is going on in L.A. It was very, very exciting. And then the books came out. And they were shipped to all the temples and we got to read it. And it was like, wow, this is amazing. So don't think this. Don't just leave that. Everyone should purchase the Chaitanya Charitamrita set. And get a set of this book in your house and don't just let it gather dust. Read it, greedily read it. Because when you read this book, you're going to get the awakening of love of Krishna within your heart. Just by reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll become a pure devotee. Just by carefully studying this book and understanding who is Lord Chaitanya, you see. What are his divine pastimes? You'll get that awakening of pure love within your heart. So are there any questions? I don't see any questions. Here's some. Okay. We envy Krishna, as stated also, Krishna out of envy his devotee, relishes more than him in bhakti. Our envy of Krishna is coming from Krishna since he is the source of everything. What is the difference between our envy and Krishna's envy? Well, it depends. A devotee can have spiritual envy also. Krishna's envy is purely spiritual. Our envy can be either materially or material envy or spiritual envy. I know because I know about spiritual envy. Because Prabhupada personally trained me about spiritual envy. I was in a remote little temple, I was in Austin. Prabhupada didn't come there. And then I was in Gainesville. Prabhupada had come there before I got to Gainesville. He didn't come when I was there. So I was in temples where Prabhupada was not there. And we would hear all of, he was on the morning walk in L.A. He was there, he was there, he was in New York. And we'd hear reports that we'd meet a devotee who had been on the morning walk or was in the darshan. You get envious after a while. Wow, this is really nice hearing all these devotees. They were with Prabhupada, and he looked at them, and he smiled, and he said this. And here I am out on, in this temple. I don't even get to see him. Like this envy was building up in my heart of all these devotees are getting Prabhupada's association. But you're not supposed to be envious of your godbrothers, right? So I was feeling kind of guilty. Here I'm envious of all these devotees who are getting Prabhupada's association, and you're not supposed to feel envious. What can I do? I'm super envious of these devotees who are getting Prabhupada's association. So what can I do to get free from this envy? I had no idea. So all I knew was that when you don't know what to do, you ask your spiritual master, right? When you get bewildered, you ask your guru. So I wrote Prabhupada a letter, and I said, Prabhupada, I have this problem. I'm envious of my godbrothers who are getting so much of your association. What can I do, Srila Prabhupada, to get free from this envy? And Prabhupada really surprised me with his answer. He said, spiritual envy means when you see somebody is getting more mercy than you are, then you should try harder so you can also get the mercy. Well, there you go. You see. So that's called transcendental envy. You see. Just like an example, you see, somebody can really play a good madanga, So you could be materially envious, thinking, yeah, he must be really puffed up. Yeah. Must be really puffed up. That's called material envy. If you have that attitude, you'll never be a good madanga player. You think, yeah, he's just puffed up. But if you think, wow, he's so fortunate, Krishna has blessed him with the ability to play the drums so wonderfully. I wish I could also be blessed in that way. Yeah, that's called spiritual envy. If you have that attitude, you'll become also a very good madanga player, you see. So always understand the difference between spiritual envy and material envy. You have to learn how to be vigilant over your own consciousness. A devotee has to be able to psychoanalyze himself based on the descriptions of the spiritual master, descriptions in the scripture, etc. So he can distinguish when his mind is properly situated and when it's off the track. You see. Just like you want to drive from here to, the farm, the temple out there on the farm. To drive a car, you have to know how to stay on the road, right? If you don't know what it means to stay on the road, you're going to have an accident. So this says you keep the car on the road when you drive. You have to keep your mind on the road because you're driving it every minute. Whether you know it or not, you are driving it every minute through something called time. You have to keep your mind on the road of Krishna consciousness. If you get off the road, you have an accident. So that's something about envy. So our envy, if our envy is spiritual, it's non-different from Krishna's envy. It's of the same spiritual quality. If it's material, then it's different. It's cool to be envious as long as it's spiritual envy. But don't be materially envious. When there is too much negativity, it is said the relocation of preaching is important. But what if the negativity is rightly justified? It is not negativity. Anything that's rightly justified is not negative, it's positive. Yeah, they're really finding fault with my preaching here. Well, maybe, so I should go somewhere else. Maybe there's something wrong with your preaching. You see? So one has to be honest and humble. Don't be proud, don't be puffed up. And then Krishna will help you understand whether they're wrong or you're, whether they're wrong or you are wrong. You see? You have to develop the ability to tell between right and wrong, and that comes from sincere devotional service. Sincerely chanting, sincerely serving, then Krishna will give you the intelligence to know what is right and what is wrong in Krishna consciousness. What does Panchitika mean? This is a particular commentary, or a particular commentary on grammar. The literal meaning of the word I cannot say. What to do when our relatives and friends exclude us from some social circles due to our bhakti practices? Consider yourself the most fortunate person in all the three worlds. Is there any significance of the fact that Srila Prabhupada translated the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita completely before the Srimad Bhagavatam? It's interesting. He did take time out from Bhagavatam to do the CC. He wanted to have the first, somebody else was getting ready to publish it. That's an interesting question, why he did that. But should we read or finish it, Chaitanya Charitamrita, before the Bhagavatam? No. The order is Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's the order. But it's okay to do a little sneak, you know, sneak previews is also cool. But in terms, if you want to do an organized study, you go Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. But we don't mind if you do a look ahead every now and then, get fired up. It's like we're having a class on CC today. But you haven't read the whole Bhagavatam, have you? Anybody read the whole Bhagavatam? You've read the whole Bhagavatam, very good. There's two of you, three of it, four, five, very good. Now everybody read the whole Bhagavatam. How can we help our kids to become Krishna conscious if they are exposed to mundane things in work and schools? Why are you sending them to the mundane school? That's my question. Why don't you have a school here for the children? Why do you have to send them to the public school, the slaughterhouse? Or why don't you homeschool them? Is homeschooling legal in this country? Does anybody know homeschooling? It's legal in the U.S. Is it legal here? Anyone know? Yeah. And why are you sending them to public school? Because you wanted both parents go to work to make money. Prabhupada didn't want the kids to go to public school. That's why we started the Gurukula. Is it? Last night we saw that movie. You see that? It's PhD, Ravi Gupta, in the movie. He was homeschooled. In America, in Boise. His mother did not want to send him to public school. The father went to work, the mother stayed home, and she homeschooled little Ravi. And at the age 13, he entered the university and became a PhD. Can you imagine entering the university at age 13? He became so advanced academically that at age 13 he entered the university and excelled, got a PhD degree, and now he's a big professor in the university. You see. He's actually initiated a devotee. They gave his Karmi name because he's known as Dr. Ravi Gupta, but actually he's initiated a devotee of my godbrother. Forget his devotee. What's his devotee name? Huh? No, his name, not the guru's name.
Something with Radha.
Yeah, Radhika Raman or something. Yeah, he's initiated devotee, but they use his official professor name for the video because it's prestigious, Dr. Ravi Gupta. But if it's not practical for you to send your kids to homeschool them or there's no Gurukula here, If it's for some reason it's not practical, then you have to train them very well at home, you see. Where they just like the home we're staying now, Arshna City, the kids every morning they come from Mangalarti. You see, these boys, Madhava and the other boy Abhay, they come from Mangalarti, you see. And they attend the morning program. Just like Madhava's here right now, you see, hearing. So if it's not practical to do the homeschool them or send them to a Gurukula, then you have to have a very good spiritual program at home. Very good. Prabhupada actually went to public school in India. Matilal Seal School he went to. It's a very spiritual atmosphere at home, so they understand this is my real life, not this other thing. Observing a full fast and a khanasi, does it necessarily imply abstaining even from panchamrita? It's up to you. You could, if you want to do a nirjal, you could abstain from panchamrita, or you could also take it and do it. It wouldn't. It's not you're going to go to hell for taking panchamrita. Can you? The question is, can you take panchamrita on a nirjal ekadasi? That's the big issue. Maybe we should have some big debate at the GBC level or something. It's not a big deal. You can take it or not take it. Either way, you're doing a nice nirjal. I wouldn't feel guilty. Oh, my nirjal, I forgot. My nirjal is spoiled. I took panchamrita. Oh, no, I'm going to go to hell. No, it's not like that.
Nirjala can get spoiled if you not have like that, too.
Huh?
Nirjala, if you not have like this, too, then it's spoiled.
It's spoiled if you take panchamrita?
No.
If you fall asleep. Yeah, if you not out even for 1 second, your khadasi is spoiled. That's more important. The real meaning of ekadasi, I'm not able to do this, by the way. My growing up as an American youth, I wasn't trained to be where I could stay up all night. It's just I was conditioned to say, I cannot do this. I can't stay up all night. But the real meaning of ekadasi is you don't, no water, no food, and no sleep also. You can't even not have for 1 second. That's the real meaning of ekadasi. They're doing the full ekadasi. But Prabhupada is very lenient. When I joined the movement, you know what ekadasi was? It was a feast day. Prabhupada was so kind. Ekadasi was a feast. Every ekadasi, oh, ekadasi, feast day. Carrot halva and fried peanuts and we'd have a special feast on ekadasi. Prabhupada is very merciful. He introduced ekadasi as a feast. He never said we had to do nirjal, by the way. All he said, he did say that's the real meaning of it, but he never told us we had to do that. It's voluntary. You don't have to do nirjal. It's too heavy. But it's a nice thing if you can do it. I do it every year, but I do sleep. Actually, I had to do it here in Mauritius every year, nirjal. But I do sleep, so I don't do a pure nirjal. It's contaminated by sleeping.
Prabhupada said about the nirjal ekadasi, you can do it, but if you can engage yourself in the next day in the service, not that you're going to go to sleep.
Oh, you have to engage the next day in service also. You can't. You have to just as if you didn't miss your sleep. You have to go the next day normally. Okay. Is Chaitanya Charitamrita accepted as an authoritative scripture in other disciplic successions? Well, you can ask them. They certainly should. It's actually stated that anybody who doesn't accept Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of God is a demon. So it's a pretty heavy statement about other sampradayas if they don't accept Lord Chaitanya. It's actually stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. They should accept. I don't know if they do. They should. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as a devotee, but sometimes displayed that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, he did that. sometimes. Does it mean when the pastimes, does it mean when he performs these pastimes, he forgets his other moods? Actually, all the moods are existing simultaneously in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He can accommodate unlimited moods. I heard that in Srila Prabhupada's lectures, Madhyaliya, that we should worship Lord Chaitanya as devotee, not as the Supreme Lord. Does it mean that we cannot offer tulsi leaves or a peacock feather to him? Now, what do you do? What did we do that day? Did we offer tulsi leaf to Lord Chaitanya? We do?
Even in any case, if you were attained to Lord Chaitanya, we were, as a devotee or as Supreme Lord. If he's a Supreme Lord, then he will accept with the tulsi. If somebody thinks he's a devotee, then he's going to offer it to Lord Krishna. Then the tulsi has to be there.
Any other questions? Okay, what is the significance of being attracted to hear Bhagavatam? Actually, to be attracted to any Krishna Katha, whether it's Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, etc., to be attracted to any type of Krishna Katha means you're awakening your eternal identity as Krishna's servant. The actual position of the jiva soul is to relish unlimited nectar by hearing about Krishna. For millions of lifetimes, we've been caught up in so-called enjoyment, but it's actually a suffering condition in this material world. Sometimes as a demigod, sometimes a germ. All these different ways we've been trying to enjoy here, but still we go on suffering. So if you can develop any desire or a taste or an attraction for hearing transcendental knowledge, hearing the, it's like we sing in the Guru Puja, my only desire is to have my consciousness purified by emanating, by the words emanating, by hearing the words emanating from the lotus mouth of my spiritual master. This attraction to hear from your spiritual master, to hear from exalted Vaishnavas, to hear from the scriptures, this, you have this sort of a taste or attraction awake within your heart. This is the beginning of pure love of God. It's the beginning. It's mean this. You have that taste for hearing, that means the seed of bhakti is implanted in your heart. It's the greatest blessing. You have a taste for hearing from guru, hearing from Vaishnavas, from reading the scriptures. That is the greatest blessing. It's the greatest significant thing that's happened to you in millions and billions of lifetimes. Now you're attracted to hearing about Krishna. So you have to take that seed and you have to guard it as your most precious possession. Don't let it get spoiled. Don't let it get polluted by any other influence. Keep yourself always eager to hear. Yes. Hearing is the first one, Shravanam, and the nine Navavidha Bhakti, the nine processes of devotional service. Hearing is the first thing. To be able to chant Hare Krishna, you have to hear first. You can't chant Hare Krishna without hearing Hare Krishna first, otherwise how would you know the mantra? You see? So hearing is the whole foundation of everything. Hearing is the most powerful thing. It's like when I be sleeping, the sunlight may enter the room, but you still sleep. When the alarm clock goes off, then you wake up. Hearing is the most powerful influence for waking us up. So you become very, very keen to hear. It's like Prabhupada's example, a very good example of Prabhupada. He was working as a, he had a pharmaceutical business, wholesale and retail both. So he was very tied up with household affairs. But he always wanted to go and hear from his spiritual master. He was not initiated. He always wanted to go hear from Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he took an opportunity to go when there was some Vrindavan Parikrama. Different places in Vrajmandal, they would set up, they would camp in different places, and there would be lecture. So in the evenings, you could go for darshan at the nearby temples, or you could hear the lecture. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he speaks in very, very erudite English. The materialistic demineur cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat, etc. So most of these young Bengali villagers, they can't really follow what Guru Maharaj is saying, so they would just go for darshan instead of hearing the lecture. But Prabhupada, at that time, Abhay Chandan Day, he would go for the hear the lecture. He said, I would understand, or I would not understand, but still I would go on hearing. And then later on, the devotees in Allahabad, they recommended to Bhaktisiddhanta that you can initiate this Abhay Chandan Day. He said, yes, I'm accepting as my disciple. The others go away, but he hears. So he was noted for his hearing, he said. And Prabhupada, because I have heard nicely, now I can speak nicely. So if you want to know how to actually get to become a highly advanced Vaishnava, just learn how to hear. If I'm very, very, very eager to hear from the spiritual master, from exalted devotees, and from the scriptures. Develop a very keen desire to hear. To tune in, intensely concentrate on what's being said. Because that's how you will capture Krishna. You are a scholar of Prabhupada's books and lectures very expertly. Can you tell me any place where Prabhupada sold his property for a higher purpose, like building a temple? So Prabhupada's, what property Prabhupada had? Actually, Prabhupada had nothing. Krishna took all of his material opulence away from him. He said Krishna was very kind. He had a chemical factory and it burned. His whole business was, all his material properties were taken away. You see. His wife said, tea or me? What was that? Prabhupada told the wife, she told him, he had written a commentary in the Bhagavad Gita, and she traded it for tea biscuits. And he took his manuscript and traded it for tea biscuits. So she was very addicted to drinking tea. Prabhupada said, tea or me? She said, well, if it's a question of tea or me, I'll have to give up my husband. She wasn't saying it seriously. She didn't realize he would take sannyas. So Prabhupada gave up his house, he gave up his family life, and he had one business still going on. He gave that up also. It was the factory burned to the ground. Prabhupada had no property to sell. Even though at one point he had a very lucrative business, he lost everything. He had no property to sell to build a temple. What is the significance of performing Tulsi Puja away from Radharani? Now, we worship Tulsi in the order of the spiritual master. That's it. The dogs and monkeys in Vrindavan, their next lives will be promoted to the heavenly planets. No, that's not true. No, if they will come back, your two questions are both, they don't come back, they don't go to the heavenly planets, nor they come back as human beings in the material world. The dogs and monkeys in Vrindavan are human beings. They are Brijabasis who in previous lives committed sinful activity, so they took birth as dogs and hogs in Vrindavan to purify themselves of the sins they committed as human beings, so they go directly to Krishna Loka when they give up their dog and monkey bodies. So the next time they steal your sunglasses in Loy Bazaar, don't, you know, You got to remember these actually exalted personalities, and they're going back to Godhead before me. But still, you don't let them steal your sunglasses or your beads. They like to steal things. It's their monkey business. Okay? Now this is the last one. Why did Prabhupada take so much time to get initiated? Actually, he waited 11 years. Actually, he was living away. You see, when he met Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and then he didn't like being an employee for Dr. Bose. He was the manager of Dr. Bose's. It's amazing, he's a young boy, and because of a family relationship between Dr. Bose and between Prabhupada's father, Gaur Mahandev, he was made the manager of the factory. A kid, just out of college, was made the manager. All these old men, these elderly men with seniority, they were working under a young kid's direction. He was made the manager, but he wasn't happy being the big, big manager of Dr. Bose's factory. He wanted to have his own business. So he cut a deal with Dr. Bose that he could be the exclusive representative of Dr. Bose's chemicals in northern India. So he relocated so he could start his grihastha business. And he was very successful in that business. Instead of staying in Calcutta, or he could be competing then. He went to north, he got an exclusive in the North India. So he relocated to Allahabad for the sake of his business. But he was always remembering, oh, I met such a nice, saintly person. And then when the opportunity came, several years later, they came to open a center in Allahabad. And he was so happy. Oh, they have come. They have come. He was so happy, and he became very much dedicated to helping them establish the mission there in Allahabad, the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So actually, it was because he was at a distance. And there was no Gaudiya Math in Allahabad at that time. That's why he didn't get in. But that's most likely why he didn't get initiated. That's just a practical thing. There was no association, there was no ability to get initiated because he's at a distance. But then, when he got reconnected through the disciples, then he did take the advantage and to get initiated. That was 11 years later. Okay. So we'll stop here, and we thank you all very, very much for coming to Chaitanya Charitamrita class. Please take this Chaitanya Charitamrita as the guiding light of your life, and you will find that the awakening of love of God becomes very easy. Yes, one last question or comment?
Just add something.
Huh?
I wonder if you just add something. You mentioned about homeschooling.
About homeschooling? Thing is, you can get, if you want to know about it, you can get Abhruta Devi Dasi's book. It's on.
There's a proposal from the government.
Proposal from government.
Huh?
Proposal from government.
Proposal?
Proposal.
What is the proposal?
You start teaching Vedic scriptures in the school. I'm teaching in the school, so I have connection
with that. What is he saying, Devi? You're a public school teacher?
No, I'm doing workshop at school, NGOs.
Teaching Vedic education.
I'm using the Bhaktivedanta library.
What's he saying, Devi?
It's a Bhaktivedanta library. So you are setting in the school.
Setting in the school. So it's only going to ask from next year, we introduce the Vedic.
You're starting a special classes for the youth? Is that what you're saying? A library for the public schools?
Prabhupada's books.
Very good. And then our men can go and teach in the public schools to the kids. That's what we should do. We should have our ISKCON men going to them and give classes at the public schools about Vedic knowledge. That should be arranged in this country. That our, not only the books go, but our men can go and train, have special classes in the schools for the children, the Vedic knowledge. That'd be very good.
Devotee goes and preaches Krishna consciousness in public school, and he's paid for it.
Yeah, one of our temple president in Helsinki, Tapo Divyam Prabhu, has a full-time salary from the Finnish government for going and teaching about telling and educating the children at the schools what is Krishna consciousness. It's like for understanding different religions. They wanted the students to understand all different religions, so he goes and gives classes and gives lectures in the public schools. He's a full-time salaried employee of the Finnish government teaching about Krishna consciousness in the public schools in Finland. That's going on. It's a bit interesting. So we'll stop here. Grantharaj, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the essence of Vedic wisdom, ki jai.
Inspiration and separation, Maharaj, ki jai.